The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
In a recent report by the state's health watchdog, HICWA, it said healthcare regulations are outdated and are no longer robust enough to protect residents in nursing homes in the event of another COVID-19 wave. So, is it time for Ireland to look at putting more funding into home care ahead of residential care in order to have better planning and provision for life in our later years? The former Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Dr. Rona Mahoney, has now joined the board of a company called Halo Care, which is an Irish startup that provides technological solutions that allow elderly people to live independently in their own home. Rona, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Great to talk to you again.
Now, it's very interesting this, because given what happened over Christmas and given what happened at the beginning of the pandemic when nursing homes were the victims, really, people being discharged into nursing homes, infections and so on, many people died. And we thought we'd learned our lesson, but in the wave over Christmas, we saw a huge number of elderly people die again. Nursing homes, you know, are potentially very dangerous places in a pandemic. So you want to keep more people at home.
Yeah, and it's not just during a pandemic. I think it's just for life in general. Most of us, I think, would like to think that when we're older, we get to live independently for as long as possible, that we get to live at home, and that we have a good quality of life. And Halo Care, it's an Irish company founded by David Walsh and Niall Kelly, but it's really a company that uses a range of assistive technologies and provides a 24/7 support system for older adults and their carers and their family to create a circle of care that allows people to live independently and with confidence and more safely. It's not about providing acute care in a nursing home. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's about living well as long as possible at home.
But keeping people out of nursing homes, you know, is a great idea in the current circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Because the fewer people that are in a nursing home and the fewer people needed to go in and out, the safer those places can be. But the kind of technology that has been developed now that people can use at home, and often I get calls when we're talking to Jess Kelly about technology, and you get someone saying, well, I'm in my 60s, I'm not very tech savvy. So it's no use having tech if you don't know how to use it.
Absolutely. But that's the whole point. It's totally supported and it's totally easy to use. So nobody needs to worry about being not very tech minded or being scared of technology. Loads of us are. But this technology falls into three main categories. The first is kind of the safety technology, and that is having motion detectors, fall sensors in the home, warnings about temperature, warnings about carbon monoxide, flooding, calls at the door. And what's really important to take home is that this isn't about having cameras in your house where it's like Big Brother, you're being watched. These are really discreet devices that are wireless. You hardly know they're there. For example, a fall sensor will literally sit on the wall. It uses a combination of radar and microwave technology, and it can literally sense movement in the room, normal movement. It can distinguish between someone stumbling. And so it can detect a fall rather than just somebody sitting down in a chair. But they're incredibly sophisticated. And these then feed back into a 24/7 care hub. So there's always a backup there who can detect an alarm and who can detect when a problem arises. And they're then able to contact a person's carers, their family, so that there's just that extra bit of backup. And then in addition to that, there's a social element, because for a lot of people living at home, and we've really seen this in COVID, Pat, is the loneliness and the lack of connection. And you're right, a lot of elderly people are scared of, you know, iPhones, and they're scared of iPads. And in this case, we set up a whole system for a person that's personalised for them, it's appropriate and really easy to use. So it means that people can connect via video calls, either with the care hub, with the circle of friends, with their family, and also that we can feed content into those Halo pads so they can have the Irish Times. If you'd love to read the Irish Times in the morning, you know, that's there. And there's kind of lots of updates and information that might be valuable for someone, medication prompts, you know, and alerts, so that, again, there is that backup, and also that people can have conversations, you know, because it's so important to try and stay connected in this environment. And then there's a whole suite of clinical and wellness technologies, which a lot of people will be really familiar with. The Fitbits, and we're all used to our heart rate being monitored now, you know, but we can monitor body temperatures, blood pressure, heart rate, respiration rate, blood sugar, medication adherence. So all of this just provides that bit of backup. But the key is that it's connected into a 24/7 care hub so that there's always someone there to contact. There's people who can, you know, detect when a problem might be arising and can create appropriate alerts. But it is not about being monitored or watched or having video cameras in your house. So it's really not designed to impose on people or to make people feel uncomfortable. It's quite the opposite. It's just a really good safety backup for people who are at home.
When HICWA said healthcare regulations are outdated and are no longer robust enough to protect residents in nursing homes in the event of a wave, do we need to refocus in the health service? I know it must be interesting for you as an obstetrician. This is not the area that you spent your working life on. Now you're seeing a different kind of experience of the health service. Do we need to refocus?
Absolutely. So what we're really seeing is, and we've known it for a long time, Pat, that we need to deliver healthcare differently. You know, we have, when we sit back and you look at the operation of healthcare in Ireland, you look at how we deliver it, there's so much inefficiency. People coming to hospital unnecessarily, the footfall through the hospital, things we could deliver really easily using assistive technology. So I think COVID was fascinating for me in terms of all of a sudden we couldn't allow people come to hospital. We had huge restrictions. We had to deliver our healthcare differently. And it, although a bit ad hoc, in terms of using video calls or phoning people, we learned that we can do it. That's the first thing. And COVID has been a massive accelerator in recognizing how we can change the way we deliver healthcare. But, you know, there's lots of companies out there that do amazing work using assistive technology, you know, Get Well networks that connect patients to their care, allow people to engage in their care. And then we have a whole lot of telehealth. And it's quite advanced and sophisticated, you know. And Ireland really needs to get on this train, because we can achieve a huge amount. And not only does it make things easier for people, but actually often it increases equity and access to healthcare for people, which is hugely important. And particularly, we come back to Halo Care. When we look at the population demographic ahead of us, you know, we had about we have about 700,000 people over 65 in the country at the moment. That cohort are really growing, and we expect to see about 1.5 million people in the over 65 category in 2051. And when we look at this age group particularly, you know, counts for 50% of our hospital beds, a quarter of our emergency room attendances, and a third of people over 65 will have some long-standing, you know, health-related limitation. And you're absolutely right. We want to keep people out of hospitals. We want to keep people out of nursing homes. It's a really expensive way of delivering care, but it's also not a good quality of care. If we can start to care for people at home, but in a way that provides safety, that provides connectivity, so it's not just about the raw healthcare, it's also about the person, about making them feel cared for, making them feel supported at home, then I think we really achieve something. And I think it couldn't be more important. And this has broad application across the healthcare system. So I think we're
Now you are involved with this this company, Halo Care. Has the HSE got involved in this kind of technological assistance at all? Or, you know, would the HSE, if they change the approach to people living at home, would they kind of subcontract this kind of activity to companies like Halo Care? Is that the idea?
Yes, the idea is that this company will support either HSE, home care groups, families. You know, it's not meant to on its own, you know, provide all care. But what it can do is really enhance the care that's been provided by home care companies and by the HSE and by families. So what it does is it really augments that care and gives a much better safety part of that care, and it's 24/7. So it's a much cheaper way, actually, of doing it than having someone
obviously in a house
24/7.
You know. What does it cost for a
package? The cost
will
depend on, so we don't really have a package per se. The cost will depend on what different people need. Some people will need very little. Some people will need more. So there isn't a cost per se. It's just those technologies are available, and people can engage with Halo Care and see, look, what do I need? What's suitable for me? But it's not that there's one package and this is what it costs. Everybody will have different, and the whole point is that this is customised to each individual person. But overall, now, if we can take people out of hospitals, you know, where you're looking at over €1,000 a bed night and out of nursing home, then for sure there's huge savings.
It's got to be cost effective. Before I let you go, Rona, I bring you back to your day job. You know, the cervical check story today, a lack of trust in screening programs causing women with cervical cancer to put their lives, their health at risk. This is according to Cervical Check. And your former fellow master, Peter Boylan, was on earlier and saying there has always been, it appears, a misunderstanding between, you know, what is a diagnosis and what's a screening program. So screening is important. It mightn't catch everybody, but it'll catch a lot of people.
Yeah, I think screening is about population. It's about applying a test to a population to reduce an instance of disease. Really, I think it's a cervical check. We got confused with screening and with diagnosis, with individual diagnosis for an individual person. Screening often cannot always make that diagnosis. It will not pick up every case. And I think we know that and we understand that better now. And yet, if you apply, if you look at cervical check and the 7% reduction in instance of cervical cancer year on year, it actually, this program screening is really, really, really important and ultimately will save more lives. Unfortunately, at the very outset of the cervical check, if we call it a crisis, whatever, the very outset, the information was all over the place. It was inaccurate. And I think it gave women, unfortunately, the idea that screening, that people had withheld results from them, that they had not been told they had cancer when they had, and that screening was an out-and-out failure. And I think we've a lot of work to do, important work to do, to bring that narrative back to the efficacy of screening and what lives that it can save. And that's a narrative that's got to be corrected. It's super important. And it applies not just to cervical check, but to breast cancer screening and bowel screening. We don't want to go backwards to the days when people presented with advanced cancers because they didn't have screening available. We want to stay in the days where we pick up cancers early and we treat them early.
On that note, obstetrician, former master of the National Maternity Hospital, board member of Halo Care, Dr. Rona Mahoney, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.